Kearns, we were just talking about
Peter making that
Fork of Deer.
Fork of Deer. Well, now I'll tell you the way I heard it. Now I'm telling the way I heard it. I won't say so, but they say it is. They was my grandpap and old Pete Hammonds and another one of their brothers, but I forget which one it was. You see, Pete and Uncle and Grandpap was brothers, but they were back up in on the head of the Middle Fork River. They was back in there deer hunting, and there's a fellow with them, but they called old Floyd Blankenship, and he was higher-lipped. You know what higher-lipped is, you know.
You're too close.
And he was split open. So he was a hunting, and he got out in the woods, and he'd shot a deer, a forked deer, and that was a forked buck, you know, spike buck, we call them, but they call it the forked deer. But it got to raining and snowing, and he was about froze to death, old Floyd was. But he went to this place, a rock, and got under this rock, and he had this forked deer with him, and he was trying to build a fire up. Well, he got the fire to burn, but it just, the blaze had went out, and he was trying to blow this fire to get it to kindle back up, they said. But Pete and Grandpap come into the camp, into the place where he was at, and heard him. But they didn't know what it was. You know, he's trying to blow, and it's blowing through his lip, and there's a whistling. Just and Pete said to Grandpap, he said, "What is that?" And Grandpap said, "I don't know. It's right there under that rock." And they went, said the rock wasn't high, but Floyd had pulled his deer right up to the rock, and he started my fire, about froze to death. And when they got there, they said he was so near froze that he couldn't blow, and he couldn't have got a fire. It didn't went out. And they went to work and built old Floyd a fire and thawed him out. Well, he got to tell about this fork of deer that he killed. He killed it back in the one fork of the Middle Fork, back next to what they call the Sugar Creek. He said he shot that deer, and he said it fell. They had old mountain rifles in them, old muzzle loaded. He said, "I run to it, and when I got there," he said, "the deer was getting up. But," he said, "I just grabbed it by one of its horns." And he said, "I got these two horns." He said, "I lost my gun." And he said, "I got it and pulled it up. Its head come right up again a bush." But he said, "each horn was on the one on one side of the bush and the other." Well, he said, "I held it there." Then he said, "I couldn't do nothing else, only hold it." But he said, "finally I got it. He couldn't get away from me," and he said, "I got my knife and opened my knife with my teeth." And he said, "I rushed around to cut his throat, and when I rushed around to cut his throat, he'd, instead of cutting his throat, he took the horn of the deer and he'd split that horn, just cut a gash in it." And he said, they said that the horn was there to show the little old forked deer. Well, Pete, he was there, and they got to acting the fool about it, but they brought the deer on in. Well, then old Floyd, he went down right below where Joe John Hammonds lived. They'd come in home, but the next day he went down there, and he had this old rifle. And he heard something just like a whistle blowing, he said, Floyd did. That is sprinkling rain and foggy, but he said he kept slipping around the hill to look what it was. And he said he got to look over in the holler, and he said there stood a big buck. Said every little bit he'd throw his head straight up in there and let his nose rain full, and he'd blow it out of his nose. And he said it just whistled when he'd blow it out of his nose. And Floyd shot it and just knocked it down. And he run to it, and when he got to it, the buck wasn't dead, he just creased it. And he had set his gun down when he went to the deer, but he had a hold of its horns, and the deer went to get up. Now, they say it's the truth. I don't know as it is. And he said when it went to get up, Floyd just straddled it. And right down the hill went Floyd and the deer. Well, it wasn't over half a mile of the Williams River to what they call the Laura Run, right below. I showed you Laura Run, where Daniel Hammonds was. Now, it's right down below the next curve. He said, down the river, he went to the river, and he said the river was up. But when he got to this place, Grandpap Hammonds was standing on the bank where the deer come in. And he said, in come the deer, and Floyd straddled it. And he said he didn't have no shirt on, he didn't have no pants on, had lost his shot pouch, lost his gun, no hat, just had it by the horn to set in the straddle it. And into the river it went. And he said when it went into the river, they both went under. Said in a little bit to come up. And he said the river was deep. And he said when they come up, he hollered out to Grandpap. He said, take me out, old man. But he was yet a hold of the deer. But he turned over on the side of the deer, he wasn't the straddle of it, but he was holding to it. And that, now Grandpap said that is the truth. And he said, under they went. And he said, Grandpap said he couldn't get to him. And he said they come up down the riverways, and he said he hollered at the Grandpap, he said, take me out, old man. And Grandpap said, I couldn't get to him, but he said, I was going down to the shoals to wade in where it is. Shoulder, you know, it wasn't a big hole, and get out in there and try to catch him. So just about the time Grandpap got down where the shoals was, they come up, but old Floyd could hit the bottom with his feet, but the deer couldn't touch the bottom. And he said, he hollered out, he said, just never mind, old man. And he said he held that deer right under that water till he drowned it, right there in the river. Now, Grandpap says that's really the truth. Now, well, Grandpap said they brought it out. He said to Floyd, he said, where's your gun? And Lawrence said, I don't know. It's up there in the hill someplace. And they took back up and tracked him up with the pieces of his shirts and his pants and his shot pouch. But they found the old gun a-setting again in the tree. And it wasn't loaded. He just shot it and run out and grabbed it. Now, Grandpap says that's the truth about that. Well, Uncle Pete, he went to making the song about Floyd Blankenship and the Forked Deer. That is up on the Middle Fork, and this was on the Willis River. And he got the fooling with it, playing it on the fiddle, singing and hollering and acting the fool. By golly, he made a tune out of it.
Did it have words at one time?
Yes, sir.
Where are the words?
I don't know. You've asked me something. I don't know it.
Do you remember what any of the words
no,
were?
No, sir. I can't think what it was nor nothing about it.
But anyway, the tune.
Tune was just like he sung it on the fiddle, like it played on the fiddle. They said. Now, I don't know. I can't remember that. I wasn't in this country then, in the world, I reckon.
Well, stranger things have happened, but I can't think of too many.
Huh?
Stranger things than that have happened, but I can't think of too many.
Well, now, by the way, that they say was the truth. But Grandpap said it was really the fact about Floyd riding the deer in. He said, I can show you, he had a little old holler come down to where the deer stand was, the river below where John Hammonds lives, right below Laura Run, right where John's daddy died. There's where John's daddy died, right there. And old Floyd come right straight off of the hill. About a half a mile he rode that deer.
It's steep there, too.
But he just glanced the deer's head, just enough to knock it down. Now, Grandpap said that was actually the truth. And he said, it's just sure as the world he'd have died froze to death under that rock if him and Pete hadn't have found him. Said you could hear him a-whistling through his hair lip. I remember old Floyd. I can remember him. He got after I was a pretty good-sized boy. He used to come to our house, old Floyd Blankenship. He used to be the one that sung the Black Hills.
How does that go?
Black Hills?
No, I forget how in the world it, the Black Hills. How was that song?
Man,
old Floyd could sing her, boy. He was higher lit, but I'd be dogged if he couldn't sing it.
Sing us a little of it, Currents.
I can't think of how the tune went. I'll think of it maybe after a while. They claimed that, now that song, they claim was made up on account of the Black Mountain. Back there, you know, I shown you the Black Mountain. They said that song was made from that mountain. Said them old fellas made her up.
Was that where you killed a bear over there at the Black Mountain? You told me about that. I don't remember now. You got your daddy's gun, didn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't ask him.
That's the time the dog treated. The old man wasn't there. Maul wouldn't let us have the gun. Oh, no. The old man would beat us to death if we'd take his gun. But he always kept it loaded. He had a joist, you know, that wasn't sealed overhead. The gun laid in the rack. But he was working. And this old dog had a tree back up there on Black Mountain. You could just hear her just a roar. And I just a begging Maul for the gun and a begging and a begging. Nobody there but me and Maul and two of my sisters. No, you can't take the gun. So she went in the kitchen to do something. I don't know what now, but I tucked the gun and away I went. I could outrun her. I went down to the river. We had to cross the boat. There's a boat, the river. I went across the boat to dead waters, and I crossed the river in the boat and tucked the hill. Sloped the hill and went to the dog. When I got there, he had it up a big hemlock tree. But it had come down, and the dog had it bayed in the roots of the tree. And boy, there was a fight. There to have my time. And I went to shooting that thing. 32-20. And I kept boring into it. I'd knock it down. It'd get up and here it come. And I'd shot it six shots, I think it was. Five or six. Finally, I happened to hit him a lucky shot. Well, I come home, I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing with it. I come in, the old man didn't come in that evening. Him and, well, my brother, he was down at his uncle's. They come up, and I was telling him about it. Now, the old man, oh boy, I thought I'm going to get her now. He'd give me a whoop. He said, now, I don't believe you. And I said, well, go with me and I'll show you. So we went. There's a lane there. We got it skinned out, fixed up, we could get it in. We come home. And Maul said, no, that he said, Maul, he said, how come him to take that gun? Did you give it to him? Maul said, no. When I come back from wherever she was in the kitchen or something, he said, I seen him crossing the river. Well, the old man, he never said nothing much. We eat supper, and I thought, now, boy, he'll give me a good one. It was getting along in the night. Said to me, he said, why'd you take that gun? I said, I'm going to go to the dog. And I said, I knowed she had one treat. Hey, and I was next morning, got up. He didn't go to work. He said, I'll take you with me, and we'll go hunt. In the fall, the year, I said, all right. Away we went. Went back up in the Mill Run and was running into some turkey scattering out up in there. And I said, well, he killed one. And he said to me, he said, now I'm going to see if you can shoot. I'm going to call you up a turkey. Well, we hid. And I was sitting there with his rifle. He called it up. He told me where to hit it. And I said, that's where to hit it. And that's right where I hit it. It killed it. Well, he said, I can't say nothing to you about taking the gun, but I'd like to know where you learned to shoot. Never did whoop me over it.
Did you have the gun down before?
No.
Well, you figure you were just lucky, or had you?
No, sir. Where I learned to shoot was my uncle, Ed. That's the one that learned me to shoot. No. He had an old muzzle-loading rifle, took a .22. He had an old .22 barrel, one of the old single-shot Stevenson. And it got lit wooden chute, and worked it out, you know, and bored it different, made it a little bigger, put rifles in it and twist and everything, and put a barrel on it and a breech, and made an old hog rifle out of it. And I'd be danged if it wouldn't shoot good. And I'd go to his place and we'd get it out there. Didn't take nothing to load it. And it didn't take much lead for the bullet. Just a little old thing. And I got like I could take that thing 40 and 50 yards and I could just drive center every shot.
That's all he ever done,
hadn't he? Oh, sir, I just learned now from shooting that gun. Right there. Eddin's the one done it.
What else did you learn from Uncle Eddin?
Oh, my Lord, I don't know. I learned a lot of tricks from him. he used to, well, he always seemed like he always picked on me to be with him. Wherever he was at, he'd want me to be with him. I remember one night he come to my house, the old man, said to me, he said, let's go coon hunting. He had an old dog, we called him Old Blue. An old big ring around his neck. Way me and Ed and went back up the river, and the old dog went to barking up a great big chestnut tree. Oh, it must have been 4 foot over. And it was solid. And he was just decaying. Now, Ed and said there's a coon up there. Well, I'd looked and had the lantern. Of course, I had nothing but old oil lights. I said, Ed and I can't see nothing. Now, man, there's a coon up there. Let's cut it down. Why, I said, we'll be chopping here daylight. Come on, and we'll cut it down. I said, all right. He started chopping. And we just chopped around and around. We didn't know where it was going to fall. But we got her cut down. It was a getting late night, and we got her cut down. And I never seen the like of flying squirrels in my life come out of that tree. But there was no coon. Now, I said, Ed, where's the coon at? He looked over at the dog. What? He called him Old Sharp. Now, man, he said, Sharp, the next lie you tell me, I'll kill you. We come in home and was telling the old man. The old man said, I wouldn't have cut that tree down. I know where that is. I wouldn't have cut it down 4 or 5 coons. Man, Ed said, we cut her down. Hell, I'd go with him first one place and then another coon hunt. Oh, he'd take me with him. Go with him a fishing. We'd camp out maybe 2 or 3 nights of fishing on the Williams River. Just out of camp. But old Edden was good to everybody. Now, he never bothered nobody. No, sir. He wouldn't work. That was one thing. You just, well, forget about Edden working.
Kurtz didn't much neither until he was married.
And he wouldn't work. Said he wouldn't lay his damn fiddle down for any damn woman. And he was right, he wouldn't. I wouldn't have blamed him. No, sir, if I could have learnt to plait like he did, I wouldn't. I'd have sat in a plait or two.
That's great stuff.
I never forget the time he went over to my uncle's. I'll tell you that was the funniest thing. Well, my aunt, she bought a fiddle.
Uncle, this was Uncle?
That was Uncle Bernard Balfman. And she'd bought a fiddle Aunt Rachel had. Well, she was a-learning off of her first cousin. He'd fixed the fiddle up for her, made a bridge and put strings on it and everything. Well, she learned, she was learning a piece or two to play the old pieces. But we went over there, me and Edden. Well, everybody knowed Edden could play the fiddle. Oh, Aunt Rachel said, now we'll have some good music. And she went and got that fiddle. Edden looked at it and saw it on a time or two. Marner, he said, who put that bridge on there? Oh, she said, Polly. That was her first cousin, you know. Marner said, Edden said, I don't care if it was Polly or Longy. He said, that man didn't know what he was a-doing. Why, he said, that bridge is a half an inch too high. He'd made the bridge. Edden just took his knife out of his pocket, you know, and set it down onto the fiddle, the point of it, and held it where it should be cut off. No, I said, that much should be cut off of that fiddle bridge. Aunt Rachel said, Edden, do you reckon that'll be right? Well, my honor, he said, it'll play. It won't play that away. And she said, fix it. Edden, he took the old bridge off and whittled it off, put it back on it, and he played there for him that night, I don't know how long, set the sound post. He said to Aunt Rachel, now he said, don't let nobody move that, and it'll play. Now, when Aunt Rachel died, I'd bet $10 she had that old fiddle. I wasn't there, but I bet she did. She learned, she'd play several pieces. Oh, Edden went there and played some for her, tried to learn her some. He'd try to learn anybody to play.
Where did she live?
Lived on Gully River. Mm-hmm. Over there at the old home place. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just the old people just had their ways, you know. Well, there was her uncle. Her brother, really, he could play. Well, there's two or three of them could play a little, but there's one of her brothers could play pretty good. That is Uncle Chris. Mm-hmm. He was pretty good. Well, her sisters, some of them could play some. My mother used to be, she played the fiddle a little. But she just quit it.
Your mother was a singer, too.
Yeah,
you tell me?
She could play the fiddle.
She could sing?
Mm-hmm. She used to stand and play the fiddle for a
sing.
Huh?
Your mother, you told me your mother was a good singer, too.
Good fiddler?
Singer.
Singer, oh, yes.
Never heard her sing.
Oh, yes. Oh, Lord God, yes. I'll tell you, take her and my uncles and get them together and get them started to sing. You could hear some good singing now for them old pieces. Well, I've seen her set up her and Uncle Pete's girls. There was Sig and Thiele and Mary and I don't know, and Molly Coger. They'd all come there and get together. And they'd sing till 12 and 1 o'clock. Just sit there and sing.
Liz?
Why?
Liz.
Yes, I'm Liz.
I never knew she couldn't carry a tune.
Who?
After
Ma?
Liz.
Well, let me sound a gun if Ma wasn't a good singer.
She'd go around home.
There ain't nobody around here to beat her singing, I'll tell you that. And her brother, Bernard, he was supposed to be the best there was in that country, any place. Now that man could sing any way he wanted to.
What was his name, Bernard?
Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
Boffman.
Yes, sir. He could sing them old pieces to Lamba Dang if the hat wouldn't stand on your head. That's all there is to it.
Currence, you mentioned something about somebody that had an old record-cutting machine over, was it in Nicholas County?
Nicholas County, yeah.
Did you tell me? That one time, Eden Hammonds and old Uncle Pete Hammonds, and maybe Uncle Pete's,
yeah,
old Uncle Pete's boy?
Yeah.
That they cut a record over there?
They fixed a record over there, yeah. They made one, Eden and my Uncle Pete, and Parrish. That's my uncle's boy, Parrish Hammond. Yeah, they made a record there.
Who had that machine, do you think?
A Nicholas. A fellow by the name of Nicholas. John Nicholas.
And who were his boys?
He had two boys. There's one Orville, and the other one was Everett. Everett and Orville.
And where did they live?
They lived on the Cranberry Ridge.
On the Cranberry Ridge?
4 miles from Camden on Gully. Uh-huh. Right up on the ridge. On the other side of Gully from where Camden is. Camden's on the right as you go down, they lived up on the left. You crossed Gully right there and went up on the Cranberry Ridge.
What year do you think that might have been that record was made?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. Now,
was it in the 1920s or 30s? Or?
Oh, it must have been way back in 1912 or something. No, I don't know. It's been a long time. I was quite small. But they made the record.
Would you sing a couple of songs on this little bit of tape that we have left? See how this machine...
I can't sing any.
Cuts.
Lord have mercy. I don't know what you'd want me to sing.
Bob, you name.
Huh?
You name off some, Bob.
Well, I don't know. You could sing that... you could sing Harm Hubbard.
Harm Hubbard?
Yeah.
Indeed, I don't know whether I can sing it not the way I feel. I'm telling you the truth.
Try one. Try one anyway, see how it does on the machine.
A sad and mournful story they true to you I'll tell. A sad and mournful story they true to you I'll tell. Concerning Herm and Herbert, it's just the way he fell. He was traveling through this country to old Kentucky came. He was traveling through this country to old Kentucky King. He came for to raise a family, which was to be his aim. He was captured by the rebel, with chains they bound him fast. He was captured by the rebel, with chains they bound him fast. They swore so hard against him, they took his precious life. They drove him up that hollow, they drove him down the hills. They drove him up the hollow, they drove him down the hills. In the place of execution, he begged to write his will. Farewell, my friends and neighbors, likewise my little child. Farewell, my friends and neighbors, likewise my little child. I'll leave this letter with you, for I am bound to die. They wrapped the cords around him, they bound him to a tree. They wrapped them cords around him, they bound him to a tree. They live on ball shot through him, his body shrank away. Harm Herbert was not guilty, I've often heard them say. Harm Herbert was not guilty, I've often heard them say. He was not in this country, he was 90 miles away. That is, I can't sing the breath short.
Who sung that in your family?
Huh?
Who did you learn that from?
Who did I learn it from?
Yeah.
And now you've asked me a question I just couldn't answer.
There was never a time that Kearns didn't know that, huh?
How?
My mother was the first. I don't remember.
Before that was a time that I didn't know that old piece.
I'd like to hear you sing that Jimmy Randall.
Oh, Jimmy Randall was a hunting one
late. All you young heroes that handle the gun.
Yeah. I don't know whether I can get it together today or not. Come all you young heroes who handles a gun, beware of your shooting after the down sun. I'll tell you of a circumstance that happened early, that happened young Jimmy and his own lovely mate. Jimmy Randall was hunting one late in the dark. He shot at Molly Bender and he missed not her mark. So he ran up to her and found she was dead. In the founding of her bosom, the tear Jimmy shed. Then he run back home again with his gun in his hand. Dearest uncle, dearest uncle, Molly Bender I've killed. Out stepped his old father with locks very gray. Stay at home, it's young Jimmy, do not run away.
Stay at home, young Jimmy.
Stay at home, young and Jimmy. till your trial will draw near. The law of this country will set Jimmy clear. The day of Jimmy's trial, Molly's ghost disappeared. With her apron pinned around her, saying, Jimmy, come clear. You can take all these pretty girls and place them in a row. Molly Bender shone amongst them like mountains of snow. Molly Bender is dead and now almost at her gone. With her apron pinned around her, she was shot for a swan.
One of the reasons I asked you so much about Eden and Pete is that I'd like to do a recording project using that old record.
Uh-huh.
And getting people to tell stories about Eden. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it, you know, whether it could be printed up or a record made of it or something. I just don't know yet till, you know, we get more of a collection of stories. I want to get Sherman to tell some, and I don't know, different people. Maybe some of the McGees know stories about Ed, and it'd be interesting to hear their side of the
now,
tale.
Now, them old McGees, could, if they was living, they could tell you some good stories about Ed.
But is it okay with you to use the material that we've gotten today in a project like that to talk about Ed and his music?
Do what?
Is it okay with you to use this material that we've gotten from you today?
Oh, yes,
in a project like that.
I don't care what you do with it. Go ahead with it.
If there's any money made on it, of course, you would. The people who participated in it would share equally in the money. I don't figure it'll ever make any money. But
I was going to tell you one time about me and my brother. Me and my brother, my dad killed a deer, you know, and he'd sent us up there.